So in the fifth shloka, Shankaracharya had mentioned actually various misconceptions. Dehatmavada, Pranatmavada, Indriyatmavada, Buddhyatmavada, Shunyatmavada, all those things were talked about. And these are actually the five theories or confusions which are essentially caused by ignorance. So Shankaracharya actually did not refute those theories here. He only enumerated those confusions and said, "My namaskarams to my guru who saved me from these confusions." But he never established what is wrong in those considerations. He considers Dakshinamurti Stotram only as a sankshepa. And so he did not want to get into elaborate Purvapaksha Khandanam. He never did that. So this is the only a Shravana Grantha and not a Manana Grantha. Because in a Manana Grantha alone, refutation of other systems is generally done. In a Shravana Grantha, understanding our teaching is more important. For example, in learning, there are two things. One is I should know what I say. And second thing is, I should know the mistakes in the other theories. Both should be known. So when I focus on the mistakes of others, then that is manana. When I focus on my own teaching, then it is shravana. So Dakshinamurti Stotram is a shravana pradhana grantha. And so Shankaracharya does not go into the details of refuting other siddhantas. Whereas Sureshwaracharya, the first acharya of Adi Shankaracharya, who wrote a commentary of verses called Manasollasa Vartikam. Actually, we mentioned about this grantha in the introduction when we started Dakshinamurti Stotram. There are 170 and odd stotras explaining these 10 verses. To give explanation for these 10 shlokas, Sureshwaracharya, he wrote 170 shlokas. And on that Manasollasika Vartikam, there is a sub-commentary. In that Sureshwaracharya, he takes up each theory and elaborately he presents them. What is Yogachara Buddhism? What is Madhyamika Buddhism? The Arsunyavada Buddhism. All this. So first he presents those theories and elaborately he later refutes them. So he does all that. But Shankaracharya did not do it in Dakshinamurti Stotram, but he adopts another shortcut method. And what is that shortcut method? This is called Prathama Malla Nyayaha. Prathama Malla Nyayaha. And what is that? For example, suppose you want to become a chess champion or some champion in some sport or a heavyweight champion. What we need, we don't have to go on playing with every chess player or a heavyweight boxer in the world. That's not possible also. Whoever is the present champion, you only challenge that person. Then if the present champion is knocked out, then what? I become the new champion. We don't have to again go on fighting with all the other people. In the same way, among these five systems of theories, Shankaracharya takes up the champion, the most powerful among them, and that champion is called Madhyamika philosophy or the Shunyavada philosopher is considered the most powerful one. And there was a great acharya called Nagarjuna, one of the greatest Buddhists. He is also a great Sanskrit scholar also. He wrote many Sanskrit books which all excited Adi Shankaracharya. So according to the historians, Shankaracharya was so much influenced by his methods that he had adopted some of the arguments used by Nagarjuna. And one of the arguments is called Chatushkoti Vadaha of Nagarjuna, which Shankaracharya borrowed. Okay, all these things why we are telling is because the Shunyavadins or Madhyamika Vadins, Buddhists, they are supposed to be the champions, the Prathama Mallaha, the foremost wrestlers. And as a champion, he has argued and demolished all the other four theories. And what are the other four theories? Dehatmavada, Pranatmavada, Indriyatmavada, and Kshanika Vijnanavada, Atmavada. So there are so many of these theories. So these four theories, the Shunyavadins have negated. And so he is now on the stage claiming the world title. సో శంకరాచార్య హ్యాస్ టు ఓన్లీ నాక్ ఆఫ్ ది శూన్యవాదిన్స్ సో దట్ హీ కెన్ బికమ్ ద చాంపియన్ నౌ. సో ది సిక్స్త్ శ్లోక ఈస్ ద నెగేషన్ ఆఫ్ శూన్యవాద బుద్ధిజం విచ్ వీ విల్ రీడ్ టుడే. శ్లోక నంబర్ సిక్స్. రాహుగ్రస్త దివాకరేందు సదృశో మాయా సమాచ్ఛాదనాత్ సన్మాత్ర కరణోపసంహరణతో యోబు సుషుప్త పుమాన్ ప్రాగస్వాప్సమితి ప్రబోధ సమయే య ప్రత్యభిజ్ఞాయతే తస్మై శ్రీ గురుమూర్తయే నమయిదం శ్రీ దక్షిణామూర్తయే. సో ది సిక్స్త్ వర్స్ ఈజ్ సపోజ్ టు బి ద నెగేషన్ ఆఫ్ ది శూన్యవాద ఆఫ్ బుద్ధిజం అండ్ దట్ సేస్ దట్ ఎంప్టీనెస్ ఈస్ ది అల్టిమేట్ ట్రూత్. శూన్య శూన్య ఈస్ ఎంప్టీనెస్ దట్ ఈస్ ది అల్టిమేట్ ట్రూత్ అండ్ సో ద ట్రూత్ ఆఫ్ ద వరల్డ్ ఈస్ ఎంప్టీనెస్. ఎంప్టీనెస్ ఈస్ ద ట్రూత్ ఆఫ్ ద వరల్డ్ అండ్ సో వాట్ ఈస్ మై ట్రూత్? ఇఫ్ ద ట్రూత్ ఆఫ్ ది వరల్డ్ ఇస్ ఎంప్టీనెస్ మై ట్రూత్ ఈస్ ఆల్సో ఎంప్టీనెస్ అండ్ సో హూ ఆమ్ ఐ? ఐ ఆమ్ ఎంప్టీ. దట్ ఈస్ ద శూన్యవాద. సో ఐ ఆమ్ ఎంప్టీ, ఐ ఆమ్ నథింగ్, ఐ ఆమ్ నాన్ ఎగ్జిస్టెంట్. That is Shunyavada Buddhism. I am empty, I am non-existent. That is why Panchadashi, there is a beautiful work by Vidyaranya, one of the Acharyas. It's a beautiful work for Vidyaranya. And he makes a wonderful argument. He says, oh Shunyavadi, I need not negate you at all. Why? Because you yourself tell that you are non-existent. Shunyaha. So you yourself admit that you are not existent, then why should I negate you? There is no need. Therefore, I don't have an enemy at all. So why should I negate you? So Purva Pakshi being Abhava, why should I negate such a person? Okay. For saying I am empty, there must be a reason for the Shunyavadi. Because Shunyavadi philosophers are learned people. They won't just say something. So if they say I am empty, there must be a reason. And what is the basis for them? They take, for example, deep sleep, sushupti. Deep sleep is the basis because in deep sleep, what happens? I don't experience the triputi. You already know the word triputi. We have already mentioned it earlier. So the subject is not experienced, not the object also is experienced, nor the instrument also is experienced in deep sleep. The world is not experienced, the object is not there. The instruments are not experienced because mind is not experienced. If it were in deep sleep state, then there will be emotions in deep sleep. In deep sleep, there is no emotion at all. So any buddhi is not experienced. If it were there, all my knowledge would be active. In deep sleep, I don't experience any knowledge. Then chittam, memory, also is not experienced. In sleep, memory is not there. Whereas in dream, memory is active. In deep sleep, it is not. So manaha, buddhihi, chittam, all three of them are not there. They are out. Then what about ahankara? Because we said antakarana, there are four. Manaha, buddhihi, chitta and ahankara. So manaha, buddhihi, chitta, all these things we negated already. They are not there. How about ahankara? Even ahankara, the individuality, I, as a subject, is also not experienced during deep sleep. So neither I thought is there, nor the I word is there in deep sleep. At the time of sleep, nobody says, I am sleeping now. When you are in deep sleep, nobody says, I am sleeping now. He may refer to the sleep later, but during sleep, nobody is aware of himself as a sleeper also. That is why in Mandukya Karika, it says, in sleep, neither Atma nor Anatma is experienced during sleep. Natmanam na paramschaivam na satyam napi chandrutam prajnyaha kinchana samveti. That's what Mandukya Karika says. So Sunyavadi, he says, emptiness is the adhishtanam and the triputi is born out of emptiness. This is the argument they give. Now Shankaracharya, he has to establish that deep sleep state is not emptiness. Shankaracharya has to come out and prove that deep sleep state is not emptiness or shunya. If he has to refute, refute the Shunyavadis. And that is being done in this shloka. In the sixth shloka, that is what Acharya does. He shows that there is existence in sleep. The Shunyavadi says there is non-existence in sleep, whereas Acharya says there is existence in sleep. But it is an unqualified experience which is not available for any transaction. During sleep, deep sleep, there is the existence, but it is unqualified because it is not available for any transaction. Only qualified existence alone is available for transaction, and unqualified existence is not. And therefore, we make a mistake that it is emptiness, because we have a general misconception: whatever is not available for transaction, we think it is non-existent. This is one of the intellectual confusions we all have. We think space is nothingness because space is not available for transaction. But the truth is what? Space is not emptiness or nothingness. It is a positive entity. That is what we should understand. But generally, we mistake space as emptiness because it is not available for seeing, touching, or any other experience. The same mistake is extended to the pure existence principle also, because it is not available for vyavahara, in a transaction. And so, in sleep, non-transactional existence is available, which is my very nature. So, tanmatra swarupaha aham, bhava swarupaha avam, aham natu abhava swarupaha. This is the essence of this shloka. So, we will analyze this a little bit more before going to the actual verse. So, what Shankaracharya says is, during the dream and waking states, swapna and jagradavastas, all our organs of transaction, our karanas, actually, these are the ekadasha karanani, all these various organs of action and the sense organs and all, they are all in functional condition during jagradavastha, the waking state, and in swapnavastha. So, pancha jnanendriyani, pancha karmendriyani, and antakaranam are in transactional condition. And in technical language, we say that the vikshepa shakti of maya is active in jagrat and swapnavastha. And when it comes to sushupti avastha, all organs are in a dormant condition. They subside or withdraw from transaction. If you again put this in a technical language, we say Maya's Avarana Shakti. We already mentioned about Maya has Vikshepa Shakti and Avarana Shakti. The Avarana Shakti is dominant and the Vikshepa Shakti is temporarily withdrawn or it becomes dormant. So, Jagradavastha, Swapnavastha, they have active Karanani, organs, and in Sushupti, they are all passive Karanas. So, now the next question will be, when the organs are active in Jagradavastha and Swapnavastha, what happens? Transactions will go on and every transaction will invoke a corresponding Triputi. That means what? When the eyes are active, the corresponding perceptual transaction will be what? It will involve the seer, the one who sees, the seeing instrument, and the object that is seen. So, the Triputi is dominant, all the three. Seer, the seeing instrument, and the seen. When the ear organ is functioning, the hearing transaction takes place. Another Triputi is involved, the hearer, hearing instrument, and the heard. So, every transaction invokes a Triputi, and I become a seer, a smeller eye, hearer eye, taster eye, speaker eye, etc. So, drashta, shrota, karta, bhokta, vijnata, all those things I become. So, the qualified I, the individualized I, is prominent during any transaction. What qualification? The seer I or smeller I or, you know, the talker I, all that. So, this qualified I or the individualized I or the localized I, or we can call it the divided I. And what is the division? Division is what again? Subject, object, and instrument. Because of the Triputi, this division of subject, object, and the instrument. So, the divided I, the qualified I, or the individualized I, the localized I. It's available when? When there are transactions. When karanas are active, when the instruments are active, when vikshepa shakti is functioning. And when I say the individualized I is present in Jagrat and Swapnavastha, I can present it as I am enjoying an individualized existence. When organs are functioning, a qualified existence, a localized existence is experienced by me. When my ears are open, eyes are open, who am I? I am the seer I. I enjoy a qualified existence as a seer. And imagine I close my eyes and my ears are open. I concentrate on hearing. Then what happens? The seer I is gone and in its place comes the hearer I. So when eyes are functioning, the seer I was existent. And when ear is functioning, the hearer I is existent. So when the hearer I comes, the seer I has become non-existent as it were. And the hearer I has come to existence. Now let us focus back. The seer I has become non-existent when the hearer I came. And now, when I say the seer I had become non-existent, now this word non-existent is applicable only to the seer part of the I and not to the seer I totally. Only the seer part is non-existent. And the I is not non-existent. And the I is available as the hearer I now. And so the I is only responsible for the qualified part of my I, for my existence. The seerhood is caused by the organ part. And I, the existent principle, continues throughout. Whether it is a transaction of seeing or hearing or doing whatever other action is. So if you want to repeat it, seer I is qualified existence, hearer I is qualified existence, smeller I is a qualified existence. The organs are responsible not for my existence, but only responsible for the qualification part of my existence caused by the sense organs. So the adjective is given by the sense organ. The individuality is given by the sense organ. But I enjoy existence without the support of the sense organs. I means Aidatma. Now if you extend the same principle, when all the organs are gone, the seer I, the hearer I, etc. are gone, when in Sushupti, in deep sleep, when all organs stop functioning, the qualified I is gone. That means what? It is not nothingness. Qualified I is gone does not mean I am not there. I am still there, but I as a seer am not there. I as a hearer is not there in deep sleep. It means the qualifications are gone. Then what is left behind? We should not say nothing is left behind. Unqualified I, that is the seerhoodless, hearerhoodless, smellerhoodless I, without all those attributes, attributeless existence, I am there. So without all those attributes, I am there. Because the ears can take away only the attribute of the hearer. The eyes can take away only the attribute of the seer. So in sleep, I lose qualified existence. I lose my individualized existence. I lose my particularized existence or the attributed existence. I lose my savikalpa satta. In Vedantic term, Savikalpa Satta, but I remain as unqualified, unparticularized, unlocated, pure existence. Pure means what? Without the attribute of hearer, smeller, seer, even knower, all that. Even knower is an attribute only. Consciousness is not an attribute. You have to be very careful. But knower is one of the triputis. Knower, known and knowing. And so it is an attribute. When I exist as a general unqualified existence, the general existence is not available for transaction. When I exist as a general unqualified existence, the general existence is not available for transaction. So you can never say, I want to experience this general existence. We can never say that. It can never be experienced. Because if you want to become an experiencer, the individual, then again the transaction will start. So general existence, being not available for transaction, its existence is not prominent. It's not very imminent. We have to remember the example, the existence of space. For example, if you take space, the existence of space is not very evident. After everyone, for example, leaves a room, and if someone asks what is there in the room, what do we say? We say nothing is there in the room. But you should say space is there. We cannot say nothing is there. We should say space is there. So that space being not available for transaction, it is mistaken as nothingness, because existence is not prominent or evident in an empty hall. So transaction or transactability makes a thing prominent, and non-transactability makes a thing improminent. And that is why in a group also, one person, for example, he is very quiet without any transaction. His existence is not recognized. People ask him, where were you? They ask. On the other hand, another person, he makes a lot of noise. He goes here and there, walks across in a group. Then the existence becomes prominent. So non-prominent existence is not non-existence. Non-prominent existence is not non-existence. Non-transactable existence is non-prominent existence. So it is as though non-existent, but it is not non-existent, because it is not prominent. So the general existence in sleep is as though it is eclipsed, because the Maya's avarana shakti, it eclipses the existence. Because of the resolution of the organs and at the end of all the transactions, the general existence is not prominent, and so it is eclipsed, as it were. And Shankaracharya, he compares the general satta to the eclipsed sun and moon. The general satta. Rahu grasta divakara indu sadrishaha. First line. Rahu grasta divakara indu sadrishaha. The entire thing is one word, we split it. When there is eclipse, the sun and moon are eclipsed. The eclipsed sun is not non-existent sun. Sun is there, but it is eclipsed. It is only not prominent. Similarly, eclipsed moon is not a non-existent moon. It is only non-prominent moon. Similarly, during Sushupti, what is there? The eclipsed I am there. And who is eclipsed I? The general existence. Attributeless existence is the eclipsed I. In Jagrat and in Swapna Avasthas, it is attributed existence, and so it is very prominent. It is very bright. So I am not emptiness at those avasthas, Jagrat Avastha and Swapna Avastha. I am not non-existence. I am unqualified existence. And this is the essence of the first two lines of the shloka. We will read, Rahu Grasta Divakara Indu Sadrishaha Puman. The Puman means the Jivaha, the individual I, is Sadrishaha, is similar to Divakara Indu. Actually, the entire thing is one word, big word. There is no gap should be in between all of them. Rahu Grasta Divakara Indu Sadrishaha. I am similar to sun and moon, eclipsed by what? Eclipsed by the Rahu. Rahu is considered to be a Chaya Graham in astrology. Even though in mythology language, they take it as a snake that swallows sun and moon. Whereas in astrology, it is called a shadow graham, chaya graham. So that is why it is either the moon or earth shadow it is. So the shadow is eclipsing and I am eclipsed. So in the case of the sun and moon, the eclipsing is caused by the Rahu, the chaya graha. But in my case, it is caused by what? Maya samachadanat, because of Maya's avarana shakti. Samachadanat avarana shakti. So that means what? During sushupti, avarana shakti becomes so dominant that vikshepa shakti is swallowed by avarana shakti. And how does it become responsible for self-eclipsing? The mechanism must be very, very clear. Avarana shakti becomes dominant. Vikshepa Shakti is withdrawn, organs become inactive. Once they become inactive, in deep sleep, I no more become a seer, hearer, smeller, etc. in deep sleep. That means my attributes are gone. So that removal of the attributes is the avaranam, as it were. Then I become what? The general existent. In Sanskrit, we call it sanmatraha. Sanmatraha means kevala satta, the general existence. And how does it become eclipsing now? When I am Vishesha Satta, I am prominent. When I am Kevala Satta, I am not. When I am Vishesha Satta, I am prominent. When I am Samanya Satta, I become non-prominent. Or Kevala Satta or Samanya Satta. Because Samanya Satta is not available for transactions. We have to remember the example again. Light, for example, light you can see when it gets reflected on the hand. Then it becomes localized light. It becomes visible. This is called Vishesha Prakashaka. When I take the hand, then what is left behind? The Samanya Prakasha is left behind, which is non-recognizable. When I put my hand, Vishesha Prakasha is recognizable. Similarly, Vishesha Satta is recognizable. Samanya Satta is not. In fact, we can use the word Sat and Sadabhasa. Sat and Sadabhasaha. Like Chit and Chidabhasa, which we have used earlier. This is Sat and Sadabhasaha. Qualified existence, localized existence, it can be called as Sadabhasaha. Sadabhasaha. Sadabhasa is prominent. Sanmatra is non-prominent. And so because of Maya's Avarna Shakti, Karana Upasamharanataha. Karana Upasamharanataha means consequently, because of the withdrawal, upasamharanam, withdrawal of karanam, the 11 organs which we mentioned earlier, and because of this, shushuptaha abhut, the jivatma was asleep. Asleep means what? Not transacting, without any transactions. And in the form of what? Sanmatraha. In the form of attributeless existence, not as sadabhasaha, but as sat, kevala satta. Not as Chidabhasaha, but as Chit. So if mind is prominent, Chidabhasa becomes prominent. If mind resolves, Chidabhasa also will resolve. And so is Sadabhasa also. I remain as Sat Chit Atma. No Sadabhasa or Chidabhasa, Sat Chit Atma. So Puman Sanmatraha Sushuptaha Abhut. Now the question is, what is the proof for the presence of pure existence in Sushupti, in deep sleep? Because only when we prove, we can negate Shunyavada. So we have to know, Shankaracharya has to prove for the presence of pure existence in deep sleep. Because we said it is not available for transaction. That means it is not available for proving also. Unless it is available for transaction, I can never prove it. Because proving is also a form of transaction. Then how do you say that pure existence as my true nature was there during deep sleep? That is the question, Sushupti. Because Madhyamika says it is not pure existence, but it is pure non-existence, diametrically opposite. The Shunyavada says it is pure non-existence, whereas Vedantin says it is pure existence. How do you prove it? And the irony is what? Opposites, they normally appear similar. Pure non-existence also is not available for transaction. Pure existence also is not available for transaction. For example, just as the pure gold is not used for making ornaments, right? You need to mix it with copper because it is so malleable. You cannot make ornaments with pure gold. You have to mix it with copper. As alloyed gold only, it is available for ornament transaction. Similarly, alloyed non-existence is available for transaction. That is the opposites they resemble. Then the question is, how do you know that is pure existence and not pure non-existence? So the second shloka, that gives the answer is given in this shloka only. And question is what? How do we know that it is pure existence and not non-pure existence, non-existence? For which we say, there are three pramanams. three pramanams are given for that. To prove this, one is the Shruti Pramanam, using the Shruti, the Vedas. Second one is Yukti Pramanam. And third one, Yukti Pramanam is logic. And third one is Anubhava Pramanam. So these are the three methods by which this can be proved by the Acharya. Of the Shankaracharya, he gives the third line. In the third line, the powerful Anubhava Pramana. So Anubhava Pramana is what he says. He does not give Shruti Pramanam or Yukti Pramanam, which, for example, for the sake of a completeness, we will supply. First, we will see Shruti and Yukti, which are not given in this shloka. And then we will come to Anubhava Pramana. If you take, for example, Chandogya Upanishad, 6th chapter, the 8th kanda, there is a statement in the beginning. Yatrai tat purushaha swapiti nama sata somya tada sampanno bhavati. There is a slow statement like that. The teacher says, oh student, the Uddalaka Aruni, he tells his son, Swedaketu, when a person goes to sleep, he is not becoming non-existent, but he is withholding himself in his pure nature called existence. So this is this meaning of the shloka. He says, when a person goes to sleep, he is not becoming non-existent, but he is withholding himself in his pure nature called existence. So sata means sat. Sat means the existence. Sata is the tritiya vibhakti actually. He is merged into his pure nature of existence. Swam api to bhavati. Swam means what? Swarupam. That the Sat, which is his Swarupam, into which he merges. So the Upanishad does not say that he merges into Asat. So he merges into Sat. Sat is existence. Asat is non-existence. Upanishad only says he merges into Sat. Therefore, Shruti says it is pure existence. So this is Shruti Pramana. And then we take the Yukti Pramana. Yukti Pramana is based on logic. Actually, we need not go to traditional logic at all. We can use modern science itself to prove this. Because the law of conservation of energy and matter, nothing can be totally destroyed. This is science. An existent thing can never become non-existent. Even in science also, an existent thing can never become non-existent. Destruction of what? Destruction means you are not converting an existent thing to a non-existent thing. When pot is destroyed, what happens? Pot exists in a different form, in the form of clay. Pot never becomes non-existent. Then what becomes? It is existent in a different form as clay. So there is no destruction in the form of non-existence. That being so, an existent thing cannot be made to be non-existent, and the vice versa. Out of non-existent, an existent thing cannot be created either. Out of nothing, what comes? Only nothing will come. Out of nothing, nothing only will come. It will be the greatest blessing. For example, if you can produce food out of nothing, nobody will be starving at all. No shopping is needed, no worry about money and all that, because food is available, can be made out of nothing. Put an empty pot and ask for food, food will come. We know it is illogical. So Asat cannot be converted into Sat. And Sat can never be converted to Asat also. Nasato vidyate bhavaham, nabhavaham vidyate sataha. So this is katam asataha sat jayeta. Asataha, from how you can create something out of nothing. So existent I cannot become non-existent in Sushupti, and out of the non-existent, I again cannot exist as I cannot come after I get up. So in sleep, I am existent, but not in the form of the qualified existence, as we said earlier, but in a different form. When pot is destroyed, the potness attribute goes away. Similarly, I resolve my individuality. When I resolve, my individuality goes away. But the individuality less I, like the partnessless clay, I am existent only. But we cannot know it, because then you have to become a knower. The moment you become a knower, what happens? It is no more Sushupti. It is Jagrat Avastha or Supna Avastha. In deep sleep, you don't know anything. So what is the second pramanam? That is logic, and which is an existent thing can never become non-existent. This is the second pramanam or yukti pramanam. And the third pramanam is called anubhava pramanam, which Acharya uses in this shloka. Shankaracharya calls it pratyabhijna. Pratyabhijna means recognition. After waking up, what the person says? He says, I slept well. When he wakes up, he says, I slept well. What does it mean? I was very much existent there as a sleeper. If I am not there, the subject is not there. For example, how can I use the verb slept? I can never use the word slept if I was not there. If you have to use the verb slept, it refers to the existence of the locus of sleep or the subject of sleep, which is whom? Which is I, myself. And that I who slept before, that I alone am awake now. This is called recognition, which means appreciating the continuity of I in the sleeping state as well as in the waking state. For example, if you take the word recognition, what does it mean? Recognition is only recognition. Recognition is nothing but recognition. I recognize you means what? I have seen you somewhere earlier. I know who you are so and so and all that. I am only recognizing you. That means a continuity of your existence in the past and in the present is indicated through this. In the past, how the object existed? As a cognized object. And when you see again, it exists as recognized object, recognized object. So which means the continuity of recognized object is proved. And when I wake up, I am recognizing myself. How? I, who was sleeper in the past, am the I who is the waker in the present now. I slept well means what? I am recognizing myself, which means I appreciate the fact that I, who was a sleeper in the past, am the waker in the present. The Shankaracharya, he argues that self-recognition is the proof for self-continuity. Self-recognition itself is the proof for self-continuity, and self-continuity proves that I existed in sleep also. I was very much existent in sleep also. And that proves that in sleep I am existent. It is not nothingness. In sleep I existed. If I am existing, I exist. It was existent. It is not nothingness. And so Shankaracharya says, Prabodha Samaye, at the time of waking, Pratyabhijnayate, the self is recognized. It's a passive voice. In what form? Prag Aswapsam. I slept well before. When does he say? In the waking state. After he wakes up, he says, I slept well. That is how I, who is awake now, slept well before. This is actually within quotation. Iti Pratyabhijnayate. The self is recognized. Pratyabhijnayate. Therefore, self is continuous. Therefore, Jagradavastha I am, in Swapna I am, in Sushupti also I am. I am the existence in all the three states, the unlocalized, unqualified, unindividualized existence. And there is only one difference. In Jagradavastha and in Swapnavastha, I am the attributed localized existent. In Sushupti Avastha, I am attributeless, unlocalized existence. And that is why in Jagrat Avastha, you can refer to your location. Once you go to sleep, you don't know the location at all. Whether it is a classroom, whether it is a bed, whether it is a chair where you sleep, you don't know when you go to deep sleep. And again, that is why there is a beautiful thing there. Asino Duram Vrajati. Shayano Yati Sarvataha. And so that existence is recognized after waking up. So by Pratyabhijna Pramanam, we prove that sleep is not a state of nothingness. The Shunyavadi calls the sleep as a state of nothingness. Whereas we say it is not a state of nothingness. And therefore, Madhyamika Buddhism or Shunyavada Buddhism is proved wrong. Of course, there are some academicians, what they say, they claim that the shunyam of Madhyamaka Buddhism is the same as the pure existence of Vedanta. Some people claim like that. The Shunyavada of Buddhism is the same like the pure existence of Vedanta. He does not talk about total absence, but on attributeless existence only, and accepts of pure existence. So they argue like that. Someone wrote actually a book also, The Fullness of the Void. There's a book, The Fullness of the Void. Void is Shunya. So there are some people who say that the Vedantins have misunderstood Buddhism, and that too Shunyavada, etc. So that's what people say. But what is our reply to that? If you say that Shunyam is not emptiness, but pure existence, we say Shunyavada is identical to Vedanta. If they say, some of those people, if they say that Shunyam is not emptiness, but pure existence, then we say Shunyavada is identical to Vedanta. Then if so, why do you call it Buddhism at all? Because Shunyam as pure existence has been talked about in the Vedas long before Buddha was born. So why to call it Buddhism? Should it be called only Vedanta only, not as Buddhism? Like for example, Narayanam, Padmabhuvam, Vasishtam. So Buddha will not be a founder of that, but will be only an Acharya of Vedanta. Narayanam, Padmabhuvam, Vasishtam. So all those people are called Acharyas. And we will also say Buddham also in that line. So we don't mind accepting Buddha as an Acharya, and the Shunyam can be translated as pure existence, but Buddhism as a separate system and Buddha as its founder. That is where we have a problem. We don't have Shankaraism, Vyasaism. We don't have any of those. Then why call it Buddhism? So it is proved as Shunyavada is not the way Vedanta would attribute it. It is wrong. So tasmai, to that pure existence, which is the essential nature of everyone, which is temporarily gets the qualification as an incidental attribute, which is none other than Dakshinamurti, and which is nothing other than my own Guru Tattvam, Guruhu Sakshat Parabrahma, I offer my prostrations. So Shankaracharya refutes Asadvada and established Sadvada in this shloka. He refuted Asadvada and established Sadvada in this shloka. So that is the crux of this particular shloka. And we will see the next shloka, the shloka number 7, in the next webinar. Yo Vedadau Swara Prokto Vedante Cha Pratishtitaha.